I'm Lee Marshaldon. I was Commodore at Hyannis Yacht Club in 85 and 86. And have very fond memories, all positive memories of my term there, and feel very privileged that I was able to serve during that period of time. The most poignant memories I have are some of the issues of the day, and one of the most important ones was the expansion of the docking facility. That was going on in the term immediately prior to my term and then came to a head right during my term. And I remember the discussion about how it would forever change the face of Hyannis Yacht Club. And we had extensive discussions about the pros and the cons. And there was definitely a big faction of the yacht club that was in favor of it, and of course a large faction that was against it, for good reason. And it was a very productive and lively debate, both with the members and with the trustees. And as you know, it was eventually voted to do this expansion. I remember the engineering for it was very extensive and complicated. I believe it was Bremen Engineering that did the job. And as you know, we decided on the floating concrete docks. And
that was out from the T.
Correct.
Correct. And the T was there, but yep. It was the beyond that. Okay.
The concrete T with the old steel sheathing was right there. And then this protruded out beyond that. So there was extensive engineering and pros and cons of the various styles. And, you know, we knew how strong that southeast wind was going to blow. So we knew the perils. And then I remember the discussion of the type of pilings to be used. And eventually, as you know, it was all done. And we had the dedication when I was Commodore. I remember what a wonderful celebration that was. And I remember Mrs. Bob Baxter. We asked her to do the honors of smashing the champagne bottle on the docks, and we dedicated the docking facility in the spring, and that was a wonderful celebration. So I remember that very well. Another major thing for me and for the club was the replacement of our main committee boat. Remember how long we used the old High Sea, that nice old wooden lobster boat that we had? And that served the club very well for many years. But we all knew that was, you know, coming to the end of its useful life and certainly had its limitation for a lot of the people who used it. And so a committee was formed to replace that boat, and I believe it was myself, Mo Johnson, and Skip Scudder. And so we had many meetings and discussions on what type of boat to replace it with, and of course we had a million different opinions from everyone. And as you know, that resulted in the purchase of the Blue Chip, which was a 31-foot fiberglass JC with a big V8 engine. And that was quite an event and a big change for the club. That was quite palatial at the time, and everyone really enjoyed that huge improvement.
And the justification of it was probably the racing had increased substantially by that time.
Right. And the old High Sea just, you know, we knew that it needed to be improved, and it didn't make sense to keep pouring a lot of money into that boat. So the new Blue Chip came on board, and I can remember the wonderful dedication we had over at Crosby Yacht. You know, they handled all the outfitting and fixing it up with the proper masts and equipment for a race committee boat, and Sandy Scudder did the honors with the champagne bottle right at Crosby Yacht there. We had a nice ceremony when she was dedicated. So that was an important part of my year. And then another big change that happened in my year, I have the distinction, I think, of being the Commodore with the shortest term of anyone. Because it was during my administration that we talked all about the merits of changing the term from a calendar year to starting in the fall. So it would give not only the Commodore, but all the committee heads and the officers more time to get geared up for the start of the sailing season. So instead of getting started in January, we decided that the term would start like in October. So they'd have three or four extra months to get organized. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I served from January 1st through October. So I didn't even get a full year. But I mean, it worked out just fine because Mo Johnson followed me, and then he had a full 12 months, and he got started in October. So he had a good head start for the following season. And then, of course, another great memory was how the club functioned, you know, as an entity then. It was just starting to explode into a huge, professionally run business at that time. You know, I'd almost characterize it as a mom-and-pop operation right up until that year. But we had that huge decision about the docking facility, and the captain's table was starting to grow and mushroom. And at that time, when I was Commodore, Emily Finley was kind of the glue that held the day-to-day business activities together. She was the secretary, bookkeeper, kind of the eyes and ears of the nuts and bolts of the daily operations. And I remember that little office she had down in the corner off the scudder room, where it was just a closet, basically, and she ran the entire operation out of there, handled all the accounts receivable the way I remember it, all the accounts payable, wrote all the checks by hand, and she did an amazing job from my memory.
And she was there for many years, right?
Many, many years. And the way I remember it, she ran the place with an iron fist. She ran a very tight ship, and she would call me once a week at least to tell me when the bills were all organized and ready for signature. And in those days, the Commodore would come in at least once a week to sign the checks, ask any questions that he wanted to. And I remember I could ask any question about any of the checks I was signing, and she had the answer right away. She had a great pulse of what was going on. And I remember a number of times when I would get into a discussion with her about why was this appropriate and why wasn't it appropriate. And she'd straighten me out right away and explain everything in a very, very well, in a clear fashion. So I have great memories of getting that phone call, you know, Lee, can you come in? You know, there's three or four checks here that really should go out, you know, next day or two. Please come down and sign them. And that's the way the club ran in those days. I signed all the checks.
So that under Mo, when he became Commodore, things began to change.
I don't recall when it exactly changed, yeah. You know, but we had no general manager in those days.
No. Right.
That's the way it ran, and it seemed to run quite well. And, of course, in those days, the captain's table was kind of a separate entity that was being
absolutely
leased, and I remember Skip and Debbie Woodland so well. They were running it in my day, and they did a wonderful job from my memory. And I remember just having a wonderful relationship with them. But I mean, it was totally different because they were calling all the shots upstairs. They were making the decision. They were making all the pricing decisions. So when we would go up there and say, okay, we're going to have the Commodore's reception now, or we're going to have the Ocean Race Awards, we'd have to go over the menu with them and decide on the prices and try to bargain with them. And it was quite an event. And I remember that they did a wonderful job with their decorations, with their decor, working with a committee of how they wanted it set up. And I just remember some wonderful formal events up there for the various festivities that we had that were very well done. And here it was not even our show. It was Debbie.
Mary Jane Kiska passed away by that time, but I know.
I believe so. I just remember it being Skip and Debbie. So that was quite the change. One of the fondest memories I have is coming down at my lunch hour, my lunch break. You know, I was working full time as a realtor, and I had two sons who were very young, just getting started in the swimming program. And I can remember coming down at my lunch break in a coat and tie, and having lunch and going out in those little rowboats. Remember the Bunny Howard orange rowboats?
Sure.
We had a fleet of six or seven of those.
Yeah.
And going out there and teaching the boys how to row, still wearing my tie. And, you know, in those days, you know, tie and jacket every day in the office. So I'd come down, we'd be rowing around at lunch hour, And that was one of the most enjoyable things, teaching them to row, you know, before they got into the sailing classes. And then I'd take off and head back to the office. Don't know if you could still do that today.
I have pictures, you know, of the original development of the club, building of the club, and there are two or three pictures of men in suit coats and ties digging
absolutely
the foundation.
Doing physical labor there with guys, yeah.
So not much changed between then and 86.
Well, I don't, you know. But I really enjoyed that. And then lastly, I just remember how involved my wife Dory was in all of the activities and events, the planning, and in the physical work of getting things done. I would say she did more than I did as far as actually making sure that everything ran smoothly if we were going to run an event. You know, it was not delegated the way it is today to, you know.
Right. I think the wives had
step right
had
in.
A particularly important
That's my
role
point.
To
yeah.
play back in those
big
years.
Change. Yeah, Dory had a significant part in making, you know, my term as successful as it was.
Yeah.
Helped me an awful lot.